Made from quality materials and designed to resist the elements. Our timeless and trending pieces.
That's right. We still on So still on Proverbs 20. Which one is that?
I am doing that. God sees the heart, not the deed.
Are you going to start on this one, or you going to go back to this one?
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to that one. I'm gonna get to.
Cause she only did 1-5.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm gonna close
gotcha.
On
that. Alright.
Ain't ready to go yet.
What's up, man? What's up? What's up?
Which one you got, Press Rock?
I got the orange one. You got the red.
Oh, you got it. It should be on, right?
Oh, the red.
Justin.
All right, y'all ready? All right, go ahead.
Good evening, family. Welcome to Harvest, to our table talk discussion this Wednesday night. My name is Pastor Robert Ingram. And to my right, I have my brother Jermaine here today. I'm glad to be back. I was away last week in Elder Carvella's. Stepped up in my place, and her and Jermaine shared table talk last past Wednesday, and I'm glad to be back to continue in the book of Proverbs. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm excited about what we're talking about, what she left off on last week, where she was talking about God's wisdom governs behavior, speech, business, and relationship. True integrity is
there
tested and
Tostitos
rewarded.
And are nasty. The second day.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I got the chips too.
A little bit of 20, and then we're going to get into 21 today. So, one of the first ones she spoke about was avoiding Avoid drunkenness and recklessness. And it says here, in verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. And it says the lesson, intoxication leads to lack of control and destruction. You know, and I don't know about many people, but I know about myself. I had some alcoholics in my family, and I knew quite a few of them, and I watched them. They were very good people when they weren't drinking. And as soon as they started drinking, they became the worst people to be around, you know. Just lately, these past, I guess, 10, 15 years, it's not being liquor stores. It's been wine and spirits. So they're telling you what it is. It's not a lie. They're not hiding anymore. It's wine and spirits. So if you drink that wine, too much of it, you let out some spirits. You allow some spirits in. You know, and that's what we got to be careful of, and that's what Solomon is talking about. And here in application, it says, stay sober-minded and self-controlled, especially in leadership and decision-making. You know, you hear about so many accidents, and a lot of times those accidents is because they're not sober-minded. So their decision-making is not correct, and they get out there, and accidents happen, things happen because of it. They're not in the right state of mind, you know. And number 2, and come over verse 5, says, one of the statements is, God sees the heart and tests character. And in verse 5, it says, the purpose of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. And it says in verse 23, it says, the Lord detests deferring weights, and dishonest scales do not please him. Verse 23. And the lesson here says, God examines motive, not just actions. He hates dishonesty and injustice. See, you ever been around somebody who said something, but didn't really mean what they said? You know, they just said it because they wanted to people please for the moment, but had no intention on fulfilling what they said they were going to do. You know, and we live in society right now, you know, politicians are good for it. You know, they get your vote. They tell you everything you want to hear. They know the need of the people, but they really know they're not going to fulfill the purpose that they said they're going to fulfill for the most part. You know, you got some that are honest and have some. Unfortunately, we got a lot of them that are compromised, you know, and that's what Solomon is talking about right here. And he says here, God examines motives, not just action. He hates dishonesty and injustice. And the application is, strive for honest dealings and pure motives in every area of your life. You know, see, I tell people, I tell the kids all the time, God is not looking for us to be perfect. None of us are going to be perfect. That's why Christ had to die for us. Because in spite of all the things that God has done, we still didn't get it. We still kept slipping and making some mistakes. And the world tried to make one sin better than another sin. But a sin is a sin. A sin is a sin. And the only way we had that redemption for our sins was the shedding of blood. And they shed a whole lot of blood. It was a whole lot of dead animals because man continued to sin. And we'd be shedding a whole lot of animals now if it wasn't for Christ. But because he died for us, we have a new opportunity. And that's what he said. Strive for honest dealings and pure motives in every area of strive for it every day, being consistent and being better. Number 3, it says, the righteous leads blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. Verse 7. And it says the lesson here, a life of integrity blesses future generations. A life of integrity blesses future generations. We all, I know you don't have that one, man. Can you give me your team number 20?
I got it.
20, this is what y'all lived up with last week. So we're just going over that. Sorry, girl. And it says here, a life in integrity blesses future generations. You see, we're here right now because we're working on that integrity. We're trying to live out that full integrity of God. And us doing so, we see blessings happening, changes happening in our children. And if we continue to do that with them, they're going to see more blessings happen in their children. And that's how we begin to change that cycle. And it says here, choose to live righteously. Your children are watching. Boy, don't we know that? Don't we know that? These kids are watching everything. More now than ever. More now than ever. We got a comment. Go ahead, though. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Explain to those out there immediately and those in here, what does it mean to live righteously? We throw that out. Those of us who've been in the body of Christ can say that without a second thought. But those who may not have full understanding, what is righteousness?
Walking in right standing with God. Just having an understanding of, and I was sharing with a brother earlier today about the message last week. Are you a follower or a disciple? You know, and we live in a society that wants us to be followers. But God created us all to be disciples. And because we all have different characteristics of different purposes. But the character of God is in every single one of us. We were born with that. However, because of sin, the sin nature of man due to Adam's sin, that we're born in sin, so we disconnected from the true nature of who we are. And by spending time in God's Word and spending time with God and through the Holy Spirit gives us an opportunity to understand how to walk righteously with God. And Jesus was that example for us. And that's why we are supposed to be that example.
So Pastor Rob, if I can paraphrase this just a little bit. So righteousness, walking righteously, you said, means to be in right standing with God. So for those who don't quite still get that, I can remember my granddaughter asking me this. What's that mean to be right standing with God, my mom? It just means that you choose to choose what He wants you to say, do, and be over what the world says you are or can be. That's really what that means. It does not mean you're perfect. It just means that your actions and thoughts always come foremost before Him first, and you try to do everything God would want you to do. You all fall short. The Word says that. So I don't want anybody to think I'm telling you perfect. I'm just telling you, righteousness means that we live to please God. That's what righteousness means.
And a big part of that, we learn righteousness through spending time in His Word, understanding who He is. It comes through relationship. Because if you don't have no relationship, you don't know who you're following. You don't know nothing about Him. That was me. I knew of Him, but I didn't know Him. I know who to pray to and those things like that. I knew if I got in trouble, pray to God. But I didn't know Him for myself. And that's what this is about. Get to know Him for yourself.
I had a young person one time come to me and ask me, how do I continue to live a righteous life? And I said, well, if you have a situation where you can either do the wrong thing or the right thing, the best thing I always told to say was, what would Jesus do in that situation?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And see, The only way you'll know what Jesus would have done is having relationships with his word and knowing about him. See, I knew of him, but I didn't know about him. I had no relationship with him. And that's the same thing with so many of us. That's why it's so important for you to spend time in God's word. Most of all, spend time in prayer, seeking God's face. Spend time in prayer. Ask God to give you revelation, give you insight. Because even reading the word, if you have no insight, no revelation, this becomes gibberish to you. Because that's how it was with me. But the more I spent time with God, the more it opened up for me. You want to read number 5? You know, he always goes back to the word, how our words have power. It's number 20, verse number 6. You might have 21. I'm not too sure. We're catching up from last week. Earl got one. So, one thing about Solomon, he always get back to the word, how much power words have, you know, and that's why he says, he talks about how words of wisdom are more valuable than riches. Words of wisdom are more valuable than riches. That's powerful. See, because you can have riches, but if you don't have the wisdom, you ain't going to be rich for long. But if you got wisdom, even if you lose some of your riches, you can gain that back because you know how to get it. You know, so wisdom is powerful. And that's what he said, seek wisdom. And then it says, speak with discernment, humility, and purpose. Speak with discernment, humility, and purpose. We got to be careful of what we say out of our mouth. It says, is wicked in itself. It's wicked in itself. You know, that's why we gotta be slow to speak. See, because we gotta discern what we say. How many times you said something real quick out of how you felt and then wish you could have took it back? I know that was me. I got in a whole lot of trouble for that. I mean, a whole lot of trouble. You know, but I've learned to just be quiet sometimes, to just listen, hear, don't speak.
Yeah. You know, what you just talked about with wisdom, making sure about what we say and speak. I remember something coming 3 years ago when I was here, first started working at the church. And sometimes you say something and you don't realize you said it. And that happened. I said something that I shouldn't have said it. And when you pulled me on to what I said about it, I went and did all my apologies and so forth. But sometimes, you know, when you say something, like, you know, just have a quick response, sometimes you don't realize unless you have somebody that comes to you and makes that event.
We become creatures of habit. So if you are somebody who curse all the time, it's going to be hard for you to tame that tongue. You wind up saying something at a time was very inappropriate, you know, and that's the thing, and that's why we have to have that discernment and know how to hold our tongue.
James 3, beginning at 8 verse. And I was just thinking that this morning. It says, but the tongue has no man tamed. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And in a book that we've been studying the last days of Pastor Bruce, and then in his gems that the writer gives for the gems that you read every day, breaks down this word called tame. Yeah. And it will blow your mind when you hear the original meaning of the word tame and all of it, what it covers. And I'm going to make this short. It gives this example of a lion trainer who works over and over and over again to train a lion. But everyone knows that even after you domesticate a lion, there's still some wildness in it.
Right.
And so at any given time, even after being trained, the lion could turn on you. So it lines up with the way we have to train our mouths daily, because at any given time, what's evil will come across these lips and we'll be going, oh! So that tame, it was so full of meaning when he broke it down, but that was the analogy.
You know, that's so important, because a lot of times we speak out of how we feel.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why it's so important for us to really be conscious of what we say. And those of us who have children become more conscious of what we say around our children. And you can tell the ones who don't, because you see it in the children. You know, because the children pay attention. They hear, you know, and we have to be careful of that. And that's why he says application. He says here, speak with discernment, humility, and purpose. And number six, it says, trust God for justice. Verse 22 says, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will avenge you. Boy, oh boy. Man, oh man. I know we all can relate to that. We always want to pay somebody back for the wrong they did to us. And here, Solomon is telling us, look, God got you. You ain't got to worry about paying somebody back. We carrying stuff that we shouldn't have to carry. He says, revenge belongs to God. Trust him to make things right. And see, we live in society, you know, even as I was reading, I think about all the things that we had to go through as a culture, you know, just in general, you know, and we wonder, when are we going to get the righteousness? When are things going to get better for us? Why are we still got to continue to go through this? And what I realize is that in spite of all that we had to go through, and they still be going through, God has continued to cover us. And if we grab hold of that sense of peace and that sense of cover, because some of the things that we had to go through, other people couldn't take. You know, so for us to be able to sustain and continue to still strive in spite of is a victory in itself. And too often we don't recognize that victory.
Yeah. You said about wisdom and not being taken advantage of. One thing you have to remember is you need to forgive that person for the wrongs they did. Not for revenge, but for forgiveness.
Yeah, definitely. That's a part. Look, the world tells us if you can't forgive them, how can he hear your word? He can't hear your prayer. You have unforgiveness in your heart. You know, and too often we're carrying weight. Listen, we deal with this now in our present-day society. You know, people talk about reparations, slavery. People are like, I wasn't here when you wasn't even there when slavery happened, you know? So they done moved on, and they want you to move on, you know? But unfortunately, we haven't. We still holding on to that baggage, and it's becoming a weight on us, and we looking for that 40 acres and a mule, that reparation, some things that may never come. But if we let it go and let God, we will get the abundance, the things that we're supposed to get through God, and stop waiting on man to give it to us. And I think that's the main problem. We're looking for man to give it to us, and God is looking to give it to us. We're looking for from the wrong place.
Yes, sir.
I
want to say that they say love your enemy. Yeah, this is a different way of thinking, like pastors and other things. It's true, because holding on or like trying to give it, you end up losing so much more peace than just letting go. Forgiveness and do more damage to you than you think you're doing to the other person.
Yes. And you know, like you said, that person done moved on. They done moved on. You know, and we still carrying that burden, carrying that baggage, and not able to move on ourselves because the weight is heavy in our life.
Okay. Bible. Awesome.
Yeah.
Bible also talks about, when you talk about that forgiveness, one of the things that many of us do, we don't forgive people. Not forgiving, we allow people to take up space in our heads and in our life, and they're not paying no rent. So I like to use that as a metaphor, that, you know, in terms of not allowing people into my head, taking up space, and I'm worried about them, giving them more credence to me, and it's upsetting my spirit, my peace, because I can't forgive, and it's actually damaging me more, as opposed to letting go and let God deal with it. And so, you know, get to that place, we can just mention that scripture about how can I, if I don't forgive, how can he forgive me? So I got to let go of some things. It doesn't mean that I forgot, but it doesn't mean I'm no longer carrying it, nor will I give them space in my head that they're not paying for.
Yes, I'm no longer bound by it.
That's it.
I'm no longer bound by it. And that's what Solomon is telling us. It says here, let go of bitterness and rest in God's justice. Rest in God's justice.
I also add to that, it was just that I had a conversation with one of the teachers earlier, because if we're allowing this to take up our mental space, it's also damaging us, and we're rehearsing the trauma over and over and over again. So there has to be a place where we have to learn how to forgive, not just automatic. Okay? And it doesn't mean forget, or that it didn't really happen. What it means is to be able to release it onto God and allow him to deal with it, and I no longer have to handle it or hold on to it.
Yes. And that's important, and it's also hard. That's a hard place, you know, because we've been hurt, we've been damaged, it's been so much thing. You think about this. You think, and this just came to me. Think about Jesus getting beat for all those things happening to him over that 24 hours. And then he's up on that cross and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
So I'm going to jump in here, because everybody in this room probably already knows my stance. I truly believe that, and know for sure, that Christ means for us to forgive those who wrongfully and spitefully mistreat us. We cannot walk around with unforgiveness in our hearts. But there's such thing as a righteous indignation, which means that you can forgive someone, but have them have to walk through the process of righting the wrong. That's what righteous indignation means in the earth. And so I get concerned if we talk about forgiving, but let people continue to walk in the path that they do and take advantage of us. And I don't just mean African Americans. I mean any people. No one on this earth should ever be taken. That's not godly. But if we, and to turn the other cheek means you have to forget. No matter what the problem is, you got to forget.
So
but
I
that
need
does
help.
Not, but let me finish, right? Because you know this is my passion here. No,
if it is, I need help.
Okay.
And what you're explaining.
I'm going to finish. But it does mean that we have to help people line up with the word in order to get them in a place where God works through them to make them walk in righteousness. I used the wrong term, and I said maybe. I mean to help them, to assist them, to change them. If you never, I'm going to use a child as an example. If you continue to let a child do all the things wrong and say, I love you and I forgive you, you walk by them, when do they ever get the right lessons, the right God information, or the examples of how to live? Am I making sense? Come on, Pastor.
So I think that that's good, because if you, the way you initially said it would be terribly confusing to the confused people, because I can't make somebody have righteous anything. But if you mentioned that statement, but I think you corrected that, because we can't make anybody do anything. But what you're saying, if I'm correct, is that I can forgive, but also I have to take a stance for righteousness.
Righteousness.
To take the stance. So I want to make sure that it's clear to our public that they're hearing this, because I can't make anybody do anything. But when something's wrong and not right, take the stance.
Yes.
Says that's wrong. And I don't have to accept it, but I will forgive you.
Yes.
And that makes sense.
Absolutely. And your ruler for that is always the word, not just what you think. Just line with what the word says when you're talking about helping people.
So they going back to that scripture where Rob was saying what they were doing was not right, but Jesus gets on the cross and he says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. In their mind, they thought they were doing justice.
Right.
Okay, but and they were not doing justice, they were doing an injustice. And because of their injustice, he forgave them for it because they didn't even understand why or what they were doing.
And this is what we face now. You know, and we can say, oh, they know what they were doing. You know, it's no excuse for that. You know, and this is what we go to. It's not against flesh and blood, it's against spirits and principalities.
Yes.
You know, and this is a part where for Christians, for children of God, where it becomes that fine line. You know, because pastors say this all the time, we're not doormats. You know, we love God, we love God's people, but we're not doormats. You know, we're going to stand up for what is true.
And I think
God had warriors out there.
And if we look at the Bible, and we look at David, and we look at a warrior for Christ, he fought for righteousness. He didn't fight for fighting sake.
Yes.
He didn't go out and create the war. He's offended.
That's right.
And I think that's the difference. I want to make sure we have it. That's because if we don't, we make righteous indignation, and we can make it our indignation and what we want. And I want to make sure that we share the right message about that, and I think I'll clear that up because it's important that we take the stance. And Christ said when he took the stance for righteousness, that's when he went in and threw the table over. He was mad because they were using the sanctuary for the wrong purpose. That was righteous indignation.
Yeah.
He declared what was wrong, but he also did something about it. David stood up and he fought against the kingdom of darkness. And for 40 years he fought. And everybody knows, he fought wars for 40 years. And I need everybody to know, he never lost a battle.
Right.
In 40 years. But they never stopped coming against him.
That's right. Here in number 7, it touches on that. Honesty is the mark of righteous, of the righteous. And verse 12, it says, 2012, it says, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. And then it says, lesson, God gave us senses to discern truth and live right. It says, use your discernment to walk in truth and to avoid deception. You know, and see, we live in a society now, our airwaves are being plugged in with so much, our gates are seeing so much that we're getting a lot of misconceptions about what is true and what is not true. And that's why we got to have that discernment. See, God said he gave us the ears and the eyes to see. He gave us those. So we got to use those with discernment, our understanding. And that comes from of just knowing him, knowing his word, and being able to recognize what is true and what is not true. And standing on it. Number 8, it says, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit. Verse 27 says, the human spirit is a lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's innermost being. It says, God searches the inner depths of every person. He said he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knows every hair on your head. He wrote the end before the beginning. So there's nothing that surprised the God. What's happening is because we got to go through the process, we start questioning things. And see, God said, is your motives right? Is your motives right? Are you... We had that message this week. Are you a follower or are you a disciple? Are you a disciple of God or are you a follower of this world? You see, the world wants us to be followers of the world and not disciples of God. And that's what God is searching our heart. He knew us in the beginning. He gave us this. But because of sin, we lost that relationship. But because of Christ, we got a new opportunity to grab hold of that. That comes from knowing him all the more through his word, through the Holy Spirit, spending time in prayer with him, and fasting in those areas, and searching our own heart. We got to search our own heart. God is not, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force it on any of us. It's about us making a choice. Now, who are we going to trust? Who are we going to follow? Are we going to be the disciples that God has called us to be, or are we going to be followers of the world on the things that we desire? And it says here, let's reflect. Reflection, one, these are questions, ask yourself. Are my business or personal dealings marked by integrity? That's a great big one, integrity. We always talk about integrity. You know, it's big for God. So we got to ask ourselves, are we walking in integrity? Is my heart right? Am I doing it for the right reason? That is so important. Number two, it says, do I react in anger and revenge, or do I trust God with justice? Do I trust God with justice? You know, when it can be hard, that can be very hard. When you walk in all that pain and people doing the things that they do, and you see them, the perception, and let me correct, the perception of their doing okay and moving on and doing better while you're going through the misery because of some of the things that they did. You know, like Pastor Ray said, we're carrying a burden that we should let go. Give it to God. Move on. See, the enemy wants us to stay there. Keep carrying that bag. God wants us to move on and let go. He said, I will make your burdens light. But he can't make it light if you're still holding on. We got to let it go and give it to him. Number three, it says, what kind of legacy am I leaving for the next generation? What will be your impact? See, we all got an end date. But what will be your impact? What will be left behind? See, and I'm not talking about material stuff. See, we get caught up in thinking about material. It's about the impact that will never die, that will never go away. See, the material stuff, we can lose that, but your impact that you have, that's the legacy that you leave behind. We're still talking about Christ and many people here in the Bible because of the impact. And there's some people who are going right now that you know that you ain't even talking about, nobody else talking about, because no impact. No impact. Now the question is, what will be your impact? Because God created each and every one of us for purpose and a reason, and for us to have an impact here on the earth. If he didn't create us to have an impact, he wouldn't be. He created us for a purpose. Everything God created has a purpose. And it's on the inside of us. Now what are we going to do? Number four. I'm working diligently for procrastinating opportunity. You know, I get reminded about that all the time. You know, because, see, as I say, God created man how many times? Once. Never created him again. So everything that was needed was in the first man. So everything that you need is inside of you already. It just has to be developed. It's inside of you. But too often, we get bogged down with the burdens of the world, the burdens of our own self, thinking we're not good enough, we can't do this, and we stay stagnant and not move purposely. We procrastinate on doing different things. And God said, everything that you need is on the inside.
I'm just thinking about that statement because it's so true. Because he said, there's nothing new under the sun. So if there's nothing new, it's already in us. The problem is, we were born and we don't know. And we have to be said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I can't, I mean, I love that scripture now. It means so much more to me because if he is the way, then I have to, this is why I believe it's so important for all of us to get an understanding of who Jesus is if we want an understanding of who we are. Because if he's the way, then I need to know what did the way, how did the way get it, what did the way do and understand about me, because I'm created out of the way. And then truth is I need truth to operate in this life. And that's what's happened. We've been bogged down with a lot of lies and misconceptions. And even to the point that's really dangerous in our time right now, is half-truths. So giving a half-truth, it sounds good, it can feel good for a moment. But it's still alive, and it still will have an impact, or a negative impact, an impact on people's lives. And so when we take accountability and look at ourselves, think about what we've said, what we've done, how did this affect the people around me and myself, my next generation? We gotta think like that again. And so I go back to the black part when he said life, and people understand, well, what life was he talking about? The one that he wants that you would like to live, right? But in order for you to experience it, you have to know the way, and you have to know the truth. If you're trying to get to a destination, to a place, you need to know the way. Okay, and you can't have the wrong address. There's nothing wrong. You know, I'm into fish. I like fish, right? I got saltwater fish, and my fish got delivered to the wrong house. And the lady, the box says live aqua. So it means something that is live. Well, she let it sit on her step for a day and then bring it out. She says, oh, it's cool in my house. Instead of bringing it, knowing it wasn't hers, and read it, knowing it was mine, didn't bring it back to my house. But 3 days later, y'all know my fish was dead. So the way was affected, and the truth of their life. Their life was affected by what occurred.
Yeah, that's right.
Or lack of understanding.
Yeah. You know, and
it's something as simple as that.
Yeah. And that's why Jesus said, he said this. He said, you only see me doing what the Father does. You only see me doing what the Father does. And that's why the relationship with God, knowing God for yourself, having an understanding of who he is. So you can be that example, that disciple of who God is in you. You know, that you're a reflection of that. You're that light that's shining because you're doing what the Father does. You know, your integrity is lining up with him. Your will is lining up with his will. And that's the important part right there. And it says here the last one. How can I grow in speaking wisdom? How can I grow in speaking wisdom and truth? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's how we can grow. That's where it's at right here. By following Christ, being in his world, spending time in prayer, seeking God's direction on where you need to go. If we had an answer, we had it all figured out, we wouldn't need God. But obviously, we don't. So he's giving us a way to find that direction. He's being the compass for us. And too often we're not paying attention because we want to do it our way. Amen? Yeah. All right, so now we're going to turn to chapter 21. And in this chapter here, the theme is God looks beyond actions to motives. True wisdom is marked by righteousness, justice, humility, and self-control. And this is the powerful one, self-control. We need to have self-control. You ask me how I know? I was out of control. And a lot of us here, a lot of you out there, you were out of control too. That's what made us change out, look for a new direction, and to seek God out. So here, you want to be number one?
Yep.
Yes, of course.
Self-control is funny because when you want to become better, you get tested more. When I started coming to church and wanting to become better, I got tested out, like more than I ever did. Actually, someone had tried to fight me, like they tried to swing on me. That never happened to me my whole entire life. But the way I handled it, it surprised me. Like I surprised myself. And but I knew it had to be God. But I know that if I'd have made a mistake right there, it would cost me a lot. And not just me. Gabrielle don't care about my anger. My kids don't care about me not being able to control my anger. They're not trying to hear that. So I'm thankful, but the test is they come.
Well, that's God. Because I wanted to go back to, I know y'all jumped into 21, but when you just talked about that, because I was thinking about you sitting up there, and we talked about it, he's the way, the truth, and the life. And I also noted you've been looking to that way. I'm just talking about you, but what I know is happening in your life. And as you've been looking at that, he's changing some stuff, but you had to look at him to get a direction. And all of a sudden, things in your life that you never thought you could do or be able to do are starting to happen because you now are trusting in another way. Not your way, but this way. And by you getting to know him, the more you get to know him, the more the way and the truth starts to come in, which is also changing your life. You are a living example. And I'm saying this because people are watching, people are listening. And I'm talking about a young brother that's trying something different. Okay? How I know? Because we hear it. We talk to you. And you're telling us what's going on. And because of that, that testimony is something I'm proud to be able to talk about. Because and here I love it. You said you're being tested. Well, no test. No testimony. Okay. If this thing don't happen by osmosis, this ain't magic. You're gonna be trying. And this thing is, can I stand and do right and righteousness when I'm not being done right?
You know, just talking about that light, you know. You ever had a flashlight and you're in a dark hallway, and the further you away, the dimmer the light seems to be. You see the light. The light is there, but as you continue to move forward, the light gets brighter and brighter. And this is our walk with God. Right now, it might be a little dim for us. It might be a little dim for you out there, but the more you keep moving forward, letting your light shine, the brighter it's going to be. And each time, like he said, each time you get tested, your light gets brighter because it's a new testimony of what God has brought you through, that seen you through. And too often the enemy has us reflecting on how dim it may seem and not really reflecting on how light it is. You know, in spite of the darkness that may be surrounding us, there's a light that's given us some illumination. So we got to grab hold of that light and keep pressing forward. The enemy wants you to stay right there and don't want you to move forward. But God's telling you to move forward. He's your compass. He's your compass. We heard during the sermon a while ago about that compass. We got to pay attention and hear God. And the only way we got to spend time in this world. We got to spend time with him. We got to spend time in relationships, just like this here. This is important because, see, you never know what somebody may be going through, but to hear your story, to hear your breakthrough, could help break it through to someone else.
I almost don't want you to move to that spot right there, Pastor Robin. That analogy. So powerful, because even in the darkness, if you will trust God and listen for his voice, he'll get you through the darkness to the other side. You might not see the light, but if you're hearing him, he will guide you through those places you can't see, you don't know what to do with, and then all of a sudden there's light. I mean, literally, it's like sometimes the light bulb is, you know how the old fashioned light bulb changes. So all of a sudden, off that chain got pulled and you see the light. But looking in the darkness, you saw nothing. But if you're listening, his voice will go through the darkness.
We just read, he gave you the ears and the eyes. He created those. All right, so you want to read one?
king, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns in whichever way he wishes.
So the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. See, too often we get caught up in who's in the position of authority. You know, and we, God is in control. God is in control regardless of what it may look like, what it may seem like. God is in control. And that's why it's so important for us to know and trust his word. Because if you know his word, all these things that's going on around you, those are distractions. Those are the things to try to keep you preoccupied from not paying attention to him and trusting and believing in what he said compared to what the world is saying or what's being said around you. And that's why it says here, it says, a person may think their own way is all right, but the Lord weighs the heart. It goes back to that again. God weighs your heart. You know, that's why that integrity is so important. Your motives. What are the reasons you're doing what you're doing for? You know, I love what I'm doing. You know, I tell people, I promise God, I said, Lord, if gave me an opportunity, I would do all I can to help other young men and women not have to go through what I went through, to know who he is and who they are to him. You know, that's a great feeling. I love this. You know, and that's the important part. Why you do the things that you do. You know, the world tell you, even a parent, an evil parent, he ain't gonna give their kid a snake. You know, it's so important. And so our hearts have to be right. And this is what he's talking about, Solomon. And it says here, you can appear righteous on the outside. I'll say this again. You can appear righteous on the outside, but God judges your motives. God knows our motives. We can't hide nothing from him. He knows. So if you wonder why some things ain't going right, check your motive. Check your motive.
That situation I just said about, like, when I went through that or whatever, somewhere I tried to sneak me or whatever, I could have did so much of my whole way to try to prove something to the people that were there and the people around me. But God see the way I handled that. And he, I feel like it built some trust in him within me because he see that I'm able to. And he know the whole terrain wouldn't have been able to. So I seen growth a little bit front. I know he seen growth. And he, after that, and not right after that, but you know, over time, start giving me different things that I wasn't ready for at the time. But you see, I'm becoming ready. I'm moving differently. I'm
opening
the
door. So read that application because I tapped right into what you just said.
Ask God to purify your intention. Seek alignment with his will, not just approval.
Y'all hear that? Not just approval of people. Too often, Facebook, all this other stuff, it's all looking for approval of people. And if they don't get enough likes, they're trying to do something different to get some more likes. Instead of seeking God out, seeking what God desires for them, they're seeking man out. And man will turn his back on as soon as the next thing that's hot. And we still chasing after what the world has to offer. And God's telling us, just seek him out. Just seek him out. Number two, it says, righteous and justice. Righteousness and justice versus sacrifice. And it says, verse 3, it says, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. I'm going to say that again. To do what is right and just is more acceptable than a sacrifice. Too often, we're willing to sacrifice ourselves with relationships, with jobs and just different things instead of recognizing this ain't right. There's no need to try to make it right. It's not right. And Pastor Ray said, we got to stand, we got to speak truth in love. And sometimes speaking truth in love means let go. Let go. And too often we're willing to sacrifice ourselves, our time, our families for stuff that we know ain't right. Says here, you
want to
read the lesson?
God values righteous living in fairness over religious performance.
God ain't looking for us to perform. He's looking for us to be unique and who we are. He knows who you are. You ain't got to fake nothing with God. You ain't got to try to be anything other than who He created you to be. And all your flaws. All your flaws. See, because if you be truthful about your flaws, He can help you with it.
That's right.
But if you trying to fake it, act like I ain't got no issues, I ain't got no problems, He can't help you with it. He can't help us. He can't help us if we're not giving it to Him. That's like our children. Just imagine your children come home, they're hurt. You see it in them. They ain't saying nothing. They're not telling you.
We don't have those other ones here.
But you can't do nothing for them because they ain't.
I don't got the phone. The old phone.
This is how God. This is what we deal with God. He knows something is wrong.
That's all. The new phone is going to be like that.
Because if you don't give it to
him. So it starts at 15.
He ain't going to take it.
You said you got 16.
I have 14. You
and
had
if anybody wants
to say you had a 16. There's
why
no charger.
So you're saying
I'm waiting on the new phone.
It is okay.
The 18. 2 years. I just paid this one off. 2 years.
But again, if we
don't
release it, he doesn't know it and he can't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
If I don't have to come to God. And then this is what we're talking about. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I don't have to say this
because if I'm not, I'm not
feeling that way.
I don't know if this
why
is
the same. But
this, what is connected
to
this?
We thought we had to say that as necessary.
I don't talk nothing because I might be
pissed off. I see those words, people, as opposed to saying, struggling right now, tough time, this period of time, what this means to you, what's going on, any suggestions? So, and I know the suggestions are in the word. In fact, this led me, because I was over there thinking, and I really need to ask this audience, I know we don't have much time left, but who in here would be honest about that we're going through some things right now?
Yep.
Oh, God, thank you all for being honest. I got that sitting there. I got that from sitting there. And the Lord said, we were the right group of people that were here tonight, and we needed to sit. I need to tell me to remind you to let y'all know that in Romans 8:28, because I need this too, because I'm right with y'all, right? But in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for them that love God. I start thinking, God, this doesn't really feel good. What do you mean it works good, but it doesn't feel good? And he said, stand with me, trust me, and it's going to work together for good. Because what the enemy meant for your harm, I'm going to turn for your good. And I said, thank you. And I received that. I hope y'all do. Tonight, that's what he's saying. And he said that, that we can receive that because he can turn this for our good. We're going to have to trust him through the process. And I need to say one more thing to everybody. This is the right house. This is the right group. So if we're all going through something, I need to ask yourself a question. Why? Right? Not because you did anything wrong. It's really because of what you're going to try to do right. And he doesn't want you to keep going forward. You said the closer you go forward, the brighter the light comes and the clearer it becomes. He doesn't want y'all to go forward. And I need to share this with you and encourage you forward. It's the way to go, not backwards. Our future is not behind us, but before us. And so, if we don't go forward, we'll never reach it.
That's right.
Our destiny. And I need to encourage the people that are here tonight.
Yes.
So, for y'all that are listening and on the airways, God bless you. But those of you that are here tonight, this is for us.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to make sure we understand those out in your name. God knows everything about us. Everything. Right down to the anger, the bitterness, whatever you feel, he knows it all. But what he does want us to do is to come to him and tell him about it. Because what that shows is we trust him. He wants us to be able to come to him and lay it on him, that if we willingly turn over our will for his, he could do it without it. And nothing he can't do. But he wants us, his children, like we do our children, to freely tell us, come to him, tell him about it, so that he can freely do whatever he, his will is in our life.
Good. Yeah, Pastor Ray said, didn't want to get home for something. We all said, yes, of course. But I wake up with everyday words. And anything that I face throughout the day, my perspective is so positive. I mean, the worst thing that can happen to me, I think what how worse it could have been. And it's a life changing work, honestly, in
this world.
Yeah.
This is where we need to be at. That's one thing. I feel like we're able to be over here. I need to say that everybody's mom spoke about it. He's doing what he said. This is how we do it.
And that's why it says here, and I got a couple of things we're going to get to before we close. And it says here, don't just do church. Live right every day in how you treat people and handle responsibility. That's so important. What is your intention? Is your heart right? What is your motive behind what you do? You know, that's important. That's so important. So we ready to close, but before we close, I want you guys, you have the questions, those here, you out there, I got a couple of questions that I want you to go home with. And I want you to answer these questions so when you come back next week, just reflect on it. And it says here, the first one, are my motives aligned with God's heart? Or am I just trying to appear good? Are my motives aligned with God's heart, or am I just trying to appear good? Number two, do I live out righteousness and justice daily, or just perform religious duties? See, listen, this is the world right now that we're living in. Number two, do I live out righteousness and justice daily, or just perform religious duties? Number three, how do I handle my speech? Do I guard my mouth or speak carelessly? Listen, we're talking about Solomon, a king, a man who had everything, the power of life and death was in his tongue. He had his family, and he's telling us that this tongue right here, we got to mind it. My elder said, tame. Tame. We got to tame this tongue. And we all know our tongue. We know our tongue. We know where the truth is at. And we know what we got to do. Number four, am I generous towards the poor and those in need? You know, how are we dealing with it? Are we helping out, reaching out? You know, like the woman who came to the altar and gave out of her lack. You know, too often we try to hold on to what we got because we believe if we give it up, then what we don't have. God is looking for us to give it up so he can get it back.
That's right.
He can't fill your cup if your cup is full. See, he want to give you something new. But we trying to hold on to that old stale water. He said, I'm going to give you new living water. Number five, do I plan with diligence or do I try to take shortcuts? We live in a microwave society. We're looking for the fast way, the quick way. We want to get it done as soon as possible. How we can do it. God wants to be patient. Now see, God can't get glory out of your failure. See, he wants us to be right. So when we get it, we're successful. He able to talk about what God is doing in his life because he was patient. He had to go, look, he talked about 2 years ago. From where he at now, and I tell him all the time, get excited because he got more to come. And I say the same thing to you. So long as you continue to trust him, get excited about what God is doing in your life. Find some excitement in it. See, the enemy wants you to, he wants you to stay far down of where you're at. Get excited about where you're going. Excited about what you're doing. So long as you trust in God and you know what he says to do, what he has for you, couldn't even think or imagine. You know that's right. You couldn't even think or imagine. Yes, we got to go through some stuff to get there. But once you do, you're there. Amen. So with that, we're going to stop right here, family. Let's give the Lord a hand clap because he was in the house tonight. I am so thankful. I'm glad to be back. I'm looking forward to what God has in store. We ask you guys to come out, be with us here on Sundays, Wednesdays, Saturdays. We are here basically every day during the week. God is in the house. The harvest has something every day for you. So we want you to come be a part of it. As we say all the time, that this word doesn't cost. It is free. God has given it to us. We just got to take advantage of it. However, ministry does cost. And if God has placed on your heart to sow a seed, please, it's coming up on the screen. You can sow a seed via text. You can do it through the app. There's